15 guys hit 30 home runs and more. And quite a few guys, his own teammate hit 58, wasn't it? 56, something like that. Mickey Mantle. So everybody was hitting home runs. So the home run no longer has any meaning. It's like baskets. So if a guy scores 67 baskets in one game, a basket no longer means much. I suppose this is all part of the general attitude. But it's an interesting thing. And to watch that today on television, these guys running around out there, I was reminded immediately when I saw the poor old Kansas City Athletics, I was reminded of a softball team, the Eastman Kodaks. Something like that. You know, you can see them playing under the light. And to make it even more interesting, you know, their uniforms are this shiny stuff, this sateen stuff. Oh, yeah. Sure. And it really is sad. And apparently when they came out of their dugout, they keep charging out, you know, and everybody's wearing a little thing on the back. It says Charlie's Blue Devils or whatever it is they have on the back. They can turn out. And the whole Yankee team rose up to one man, you know, and they were blowing kisses at him as they went out. I had to cheer the Yankees for that, you know. And they go trotting out there. And it would have been, you know, of course, it would have been nice had they come up to their uniforms. But as it was, I was gratified to see that they played to the absolute level of the suits they were wearing, which was roughly like, I'd say Class D softball. It was pretty good, pretty fast game, but not much real hitting and a lot of sloppy base running. It was fun to watch, you know, with all those yellow uniforms running around there, those gold hats flying into the dirt. It's funny. It was nice to see one guy take a head first slide. And he had an interesting pastel suit then, for that meant about a year. Shoo! Right in, you know. I can imagine Charlie Finley went, "Hey, that's $17 cleaning bill, one of them suits. What do you think those gold things clean for?" And the Yankees, of course, looked great in their gray pinstripe, the gray traveling uniforms. They looked like the Yankees, fiendish. They did not need Blue Devils on the back to convince anybody after a couple of those belted triples. Well, now, this is part of our whole packaging world. We believe in packaging fun today. You know, we don't believe in having fun. We believe in packaging, which is a very different thing. It can be embodied in, it can be shown. Have you watched any of those television commercials recently, the beer commercials? Well, have you seen those wild, insane moments of fun these people are having? The singer comes, "Wonderful day, they're having a wonderful day." And these people are playing this kid game, like tug of war, or one of those exciting games like sack race. And they're all going, Oh, Eddie, stop it, Ed. No, I was pointing to the other one. That's all right. No, now it's too late. When I go like that, that means that. It's too late. It's all right, Ed. See, you and Walt don't exchange signals enough when you leave. You talk about the weather and the log, the show, come on. But nevertheless, that, to me, is an example of the kind of package whoopee which the Kansas City Athletics represent. I hope, since the Mets are obviously a very exciting but very I'm going to go on hand and predict this, that the Mets are going to be a lot better ball club than most of the writers say they are. I suspect the Mets, they're a fine ball club, and they are. Of course, New York is an interesting town. I say New York measures a team entirely by the won and lost record. To them, that's what makes a good ball club. If it won, and I'll give you an example of that. In 1959, when the Yankees won the pennant, they were a bunch of bumps. They wanted to fire everybody. One of my nutty friends is a Yankee fan. He wanted to get rid of Mantle right then. "Clean out that whole bunch of bums. What a rotten team. Second rate us. We pay second rate team." The next year, the same team won the pennant by 45 runs, by 45 games. They're off and running. You should have heard him then. It's like he had completely forgotten 59. You know, the same clowns. Now they're great. He says, you got to hand it to the Yankees, the greatest team. Absolutely the greatest team in the history of baseball. You can't deny it. Look at Mantle. Well, I says, Al, you were the guy that all last season wanted to trade Mickey Mantle off. The Mantle fans, you know, the Mantle people for years, one of the standard traditions out at Yankee Stadium was to boo Mickey Mantle. How many of you nutty people remember that? Few of you, I know you do, but I've got a memory. I used to go out, I went out with Shel Silverstein in 1959. My buddy Shel, a real ball fan, see? And we go out there, and the Yankees are playing the White Sox. Well, it was one of those fluky years when the White Sox won the pennant. You know, they just did it. But the White Sox were out there playing the Yankees, and Mantle comes up. Well, this is what ensued. The Yankees are behind 2-1. It's now in the eighth inning. Mantle had gotten two of the three hits that the Yankees had gotten. Apparently, the fans were mad because Mantle hadn't hit any out of the park yet. That was what he hadn't done. So here's what happened. Mantle comes up to the plate, and you hear, well, Silverstein looks at me, and I look at Silverstein, and I say, what are they fooling about? And Silverstein says, I don't know. Well, Mantle misses the first pitch. And the whole crowd is yelling at Mantle. Mantle is paying no attention. Finally, Mantle pops up, and the crowd en masse stood to its feet as he came in, and it was like a whoo. Well, I look at Shell and I say, Shell, for crying out loud, this is the best ball player they've had since Babe Ruth. And Shell says, forget it. They're not ball fans, they're Yankee fans. They eat winning, kill them. Well, now that's the way we feel about the Mets, unfortunately. It's a funny world. And I think one day the whole world is going to be taken over by Yankee fans. I don't know what would happen. Hey, you Yankee fans, what would happen if in the other nine cities of the league, they were like you guys? Do you realize what would happen? The Senators have not won a pennant in 40 years. Do you realize what would happen in Washington? There just wouldn't be a ball team, that's all. You know. The White Sox. The White Sox won a pennant in 59. It was the first one they'd won since 1919. There were entire generations of White Sox fans who grew to maturity and died and never saw the White Sox higher than fourth place. That was the one big year when Appling hit .388. And that, they talked about that for 20 years afterwards, the time we got in the first division. Well, I don't know. You see, because that's another story. It's a very complicated problem because New York is that way. New York cannot tolerate it because it has a losing hockey team. Doesn't know what to make of that. Oh, absolutely. It just doesn't know what to make of this. By definition, it should be a winning team. It's New York. And it's New York. What is it? Toronto. Have you ever been to Toronto? It's a dead town. Not come to Toronto. What are you getting? Toronto, Maple Leafs, up in town. So we can't even support a basketball team because it's losing. Oh yeah, be careful. We have no room for losers in this town. So I would predict another thing. Within 5 years, the Mets will be a winning ball club or they will be in San Diego. New York will not tolerate it. Believe me, it will not make that scene. And they just better get on the stick. In fact, if they're not in the first division by next year, forget it. You're going to see acres of empty seats in that new Shea Stadium. You'll be able to open a bowling alley out there, and they won't even know you're doing it. Right out there in the left center field. And have daylight bowling and not bother anybody. That's just the way the Yankee and the New York fans are in general. Everybody is moaning. Everybody is moaning and groaning, you know, why did the Giants, why did the Dodgers leave New York? Oh, boy, why? I went out to see the Giants the last... Did you know that the Giants, the last year they were here, drew less? And they were a hot team, believe me. These guys were pennant contenders with Mays and all the rest of them. They drew less than the Mets drew last year? Really? I went out to the Polo Grounds one day to see Willie Mays and that whole crowd play, and it was sad. I got out there, and, you know, I felt like I was intruding. You know, I felt like they were having a private practice out there. And you should have heard the crying when they left town. The crying was not among fans, it was among sports writers who loved all that freeloading, you know, that you get out there at the polo grounds with the Giants. You know, they love that traveling around and going down to Fort Lauderdale and getting put up and all that. You know, what are you going to do? You know, obviously, there's going to be half the number of guys go out of town when two ball teams leave. You just can't. That's terrible production there. Well, of course, the same thing was happening in the Dodger Field. You just couldn't do it. You couldn't make a scene. But that's New York. It's just that's the way we are. We're terrible. We're just wild front runners. And I would be willing to bet that within a couple of years, of course, there is a distinct group of people in New York that's grown up in the last 5 years that might be called freewheeling masochists. This is a great rabble whore. They wherever there is a loser, they identify with it. As long as they themselves aren't losers. Now that's very, it's like a really profound New York Post reader. You know, who's got a nice job, he's making dough, and he's doing pretty good, but he really gets mad about what's going on in Mobile. It's this kind of vicarious identification with the losers. As long as you aren't yourself a loser, you know, it's a very different kind of thing if you're a loser yourself, then you're not really an identity. Then you get mad. That's another story. I remember going out to the Mets ballpark late in the season last year when the Mets were about 49 games out of first, you know, and dropping steadily like the bottom had fallen out. And it was all filled with thin girls, you know, the kind you can just see carrying peace signs, the kind that are all involved in the living theater, all that sort of thing. And they got the Harlequin glasses, and they're carrying their, oh, the whole bit, you know. And they're all sitting out there and angrily watching the Mets drop another one. But afraid any minute now they're liable to bust out with 15 runs in the seventh inning, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know what's going to happen. I suspect that if the Mets, on the other hand, thinking about it, if the Mets ever got into a prolonged winning streak, I believe they would lose a lot of their regular fans. Because I can hear them down in the village already saying, oh, the Mets have gone commercial, just like the Yankees. excuse me for laughing at my own gag. But I can see it happening. I really can. All up and down the line. But I'm waiting for the day, though, when I think the next team that's going to go in for the fancy uniforms, I'll make a prediction, will probably be the Milwaukee Braves. I suspect you're liable to see sateen uniforms on the Milwaukee Braves, red, white, and blue. And, red, white, and blue, and they're going to have red, white, and blue caps with stars, white stars around the back. You know those that were jazzy, softball-type uniforms. And they're going to play all their games at night, and the uniforms are going to shine in the dark. I'll never forget the one time the Cincinnati Reds tried it. Did you know that? Did you know the Cincinnati Reds got sateen, but they didn't change the color, see? They had white jumpers, and they had red short-sleeved undershirts, you see, and they were done in sateen. They zipped all the way up. And one day, Ted Kluszewski, who weighed 240 pounds and was like a gigantic human bull, came sliding on his stomach into second base. The zipper worked. From one end to the other, Kluszewski got up, and he was the nakedest ball player you've ever seen in your life. Well, of course, and it goes... 3 days later, they were back in their same old wool flannel suits, and the Reds went on to win the pennant.
WOR Radio, your station for news.